Today is Tuesday, November 3rd, Election Day. What to know today about President Trump and Joe Biden's final campaign pitches, their possible paths to victory, and how long it could take before we know the winner. Also, the statewide races to watch, what powerful lawmakers are vulnerable, and where voters will decide on controversial ballot measures about marijuana, abortion, and minimum wage. Plus, Election Day betting could break records, and where voters can score some freebies today. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy, all the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. What's likely the most divisive presidential race in history is finally coming to a close. Today is officially Election Day. And as the AP puts it, never before in modern history have American voters faced a choice between candidates with such opposite visions for the country. Both President Trump and his Democratic challenger, Joe Biden, are making their final pitches to voters today. Trump will be visiting his campaign headquarters in Virginia, then hosting family and friends in the White House. Biden is making two campaign stops in Pennsylvania as part of a get-out-the-vote effort. Of course, they've been busy making stops in key swing states all week. Yesterday, President Trump held five rallies in four states: North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And he attacked the media for unfair coverage of his campaign. He told supporters, quote, "I've been under siege illegally for 3.5 years, and that people see that fight, and I'm fighting for you." On the other side, Biden, in Ohio and Pennsylvania, mostly emphasized the pandemic, saying, quote, "The first step to beating the virus is beating Donald Trump." He also said, quote, "We're done with the chaos. We're done with the tweets, the anger, the hate, the failure, the irresponsibility." At this point, both campaigns insist they have a pathway to victory. Nearly 100 million ballots have already been cast through early and mail-in voting, and most of those have been from registered Democrats. U.S. Elections Project says so far, Democrats have cast 45% of ballots. Republicans have cast about 30% of ballots. However, Republicans are expected to show up today in person in greater numbers than Democrats. So it really is anyone's race. But it's worth saying again, most states will not have enough results in tonight to make the call about a winner, like we're used to seeing in previous election years. As you know, the pandemic is mostly to blame for the influx in early and mail-in voting, and those votes can take a bit longer to count. Why? Well, some states have rules that say mail-in ballots are counted last. There are key battleground states that are not even allowed to start counting them until after Election Day. So some state election offices say they'll likely still be working to confirm all the ballots even after Thanksgiving. Of course, we could find out much earlier if one of the candidates has an overwhelming lead. But that's not likely, mostly because so many of the mail-in votes won't be counted yet. And then there's the possibility election results could be taken to court, since in his final days on the campaign trail, President Trump told reporters, "As soon as that election is over, we're going in with our lawyers." Biden said he expects that and has his own lawyers ready if needed. To be continued. It's not just the presidential race that will be decided this election day. There are also quite a few Senate and House races that the whole nation will be watching closely as well. In the Senate, there are 35 seats up for grabs, and 23 of those currently belong to Republicans, which means it's possible Republicans could lose their majority. Let's go through just a few of the races that could make a big impact. First, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is up for re-election. He's a powerful Republican in the right-leaning state of Kentucky, so analysts say it's unlikely he'll be voted out. That said, his competitor, Democrat Amy McGrath, has raised more money. And the state does have a Democratic governor, so anything is possible. Then in South Carolina, Senator Lindsey Graham is also up for re-election. His challenger, Democrat Jamie Harrison, has shattered fundraising totals. Harrison raised more than $100 million over the course of his campaign, with money coming in from all over the country. At one point, he set the record for the most money ever raised for a Senate race from July to September. Still, if he were to win, it would be considered a big upset. South Carolina has not elected a Democratic senator since the 60s. The most vulnerable Democrat in the Senate is likely Doug Jones. He's up for re-election in Alabama, and his Republican challenger is former Auburn University football coach Tommy Tuberville. And in the latest polls, Tuberville has a double-digit lead over Jones. Over in the House, Democrats are expected to expand their majority. GOP strategists have said if Republicans can keep Democrats' gains to single digits, they would consider that a victory. We'll see what happens. And we should mention, there are more than 5,000 seats up for grabs in state legislatures around the country. That's 80% of the total. And of course, those are the people deciding the laws specifically for your state. Also today, there are more than 100 statewide ballot measures worth paying attention to around the country. Here's just some of them. First, recreational marijuana is up for consideration in 4 states, New Jersey, Arizona, Montana, and South Dakota. Already, 11 states have legalized full adult marijuana use, and all but 2 did so with ballot measures like these. Another controversial issue, Florida voters are considering whether to raise the state minimum wage to $15 an hour by the year 2026. Right now, the state minimum wage is $8.56, and the federal minimum wage is $7.25. California will consider whether rideshare and food delivery drivers should be treated as employees or stay independent contractors. And Colorado voters will decide if abortion should be banned after 22 weeks. Again, that's just a few of the 124 measures on ballots. So if you haven't already, it's a good idea to check to see what's on your ballot before you go to vote. You can go to usa.gov to find voter guides and sample ballots. And don't forget to double-check your polling location as well. You can do that on vote.org. Because remember, due to the pandemic, your polling place may not be the same as the last time you voted. We've linked to both usa.gov and vote.org in today's episode notes. Still ahead, we have more election coverage and a couple other news stories to know today. But first, thanks to our sponsor, BetterHelp. I know today, this whole week, and really this whole year is intense. A recent poll found 7 in 10 Americans feel anxious about the election. But here's the thing. If you're feeling extra anxiety, you are not alone. And whether it's the election, the pandemic, or something else entirely that's interfering with your happiness, you can do something about it. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. They have counselors who are specialized in stress, anxiety, sleeping, trauma, grief, anger, relationships, and so much more. And everything stays confidential. You always connect in a safe and private online environment. You can send a message to your counselor anytime, plus schedule weekly video or phone sessions if you want. It's also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you can also get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Now, back to the news. Eta is now a powerful Category 4 hurricane. It's set to make landfall early this morning on the Caribbean coast of Nicaragua. Right now, as we're publishing this episode, the storm is packing 150-mile-an-hour winds. It could bring 25 inches of rain to a lot of Nicaragua. Some places could see up to 35 inches. The storm surge, flooding, and landslides could be life-threatening. So more than 3,000 families who live in low-lying areas evacuated yesterday. The government there also shipped in emergency supplies and food for residents and rescue workers staying behind. Hurricane Eta is expected to impact Nicaragua through tomorrow night. Then it's going to move across Honduras and eventually lose its strength. There is now a manhunt underway for a suspected terrorist in Austria. Police say 2 gunmen armed with automatic rifles opened fire at 3 different locations in Vienna yesterday. 3 people were killed. At least 15 other people were hurt. One of the attackers also died in a shootout with police. But law enforcement officers are still searching for the second attacker, who as of early this morning is still on the loose. The shootings all took place near Vienna's central synagogue, but it's not clear if that was the target. Police haven't released a motive for the attacks yet. But Austria's interior minister said police found evidence at least one of the attackers was an ISIS sympathizer. Of course, we expect to learn more as this investigation continues. For now, condolences are pouring in from around the world. Top officials from the U.S., European Union, U.K., and more expressed shock and sorrow. Both President Trump and presidential candidate Joe Biden condemned the attack. Well, back in the U.S., on this election day, thousands of National Guard members are ready for election duty around the country. Some are just being used to help poll workers in 10 states, but others will be used to respond to possible post-election violence if needed. Just yesterday, Massachusetts and Oregon announced they were bringing in the National Guard in case of civil unrest. Texas already announced 1,000 troops would be on standby there. It will be up to the governors of each state to decide when and if they'll need to deploy troops. However, even with all of that said, at this point, authorities are not aware of any specific threats against polling sites, and there hasn't been direct threats of violence anywhere. Officials just want to be extra safe in a year that's so divisive and tense. Thousands of people are placing bets on who will win the presidential election. Now, this is happening overseas since the U.S. does not allow election betting here. But as Fox Business puts it, the bets are in and they're big. $1 billion could change hands by the time this election is all said and done. For perspective, that's double the amount waged during the 2016 presidential election. Some betting and gambling companies say this contest will be even bigger than the Super Bowl. Others add this will likely be their biggest wagering event of the year. As for who bettors are favoring, companies say more people are leaning towards a Trump victory, despite the fact that most polls in the U.S. indicate Biden is in the lead. So stay tuned. A bunch of nationwide chains are serving up freebies on this election day, and you don't even need to have your I voted sticker. For example, Krispy Kreme is giving away free glazed donuts, Boston Market is handing out free sliders after 9 p.m. Eastern, and Planet Fitness wants to help you work off the stress, so it's giving out free workouts and massages. If you need a ride to the polls, Uber and Lyft have half-off deals, though there are some exclusions, so read the fine print. You can find even more freebies by clicking the links included in today's episode notes. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. And today's trivia question is, how many U.S. presidents have been elected for a second term? You can answer this week's question in our quiz posted to Instagram stories, so find and follow us on Instagram at NewsworthyPod to play along. And while you're at it, share a selfie with your I voted sticker on Instagram. If you tag us at NewsworthyPod, we would love to share it this week and show the Newsworthy community getting out the vote. And yes, even if you voted early, we'd still love to see it. Okay, now for last week's trivia question. How heavy was the biggest pumpkin ever grown in North America? The answer is 2,528 pounds. The pumpkin was grown by a New Hampshire man in 2018, and it was practically as heavy as a small car. The man who grew it says mega pumpkin growing is a big passion of his. He says he loves watching the pumpkin start from a seed, which is about the size of a thumbnail, and eventually grow it into something that's thousands of pounds. Shout out to Leah, Victor, Jacqueline, the second grade class at Charlotte Jewish Day School who said hello and sent in their guesses, and everyone else who played along on Instagram. All right, thank you so much for tuning in and happy voting. We'll be watching all of today's updates closely and have your post-election day roundup tomorrow morning. Until then, have a great day.